actually. It's really the same for same aspects for, you know, open door.
Thank you. Good afternoon. On behalf of the Good and the Ribeiro family, you're all welcome here today to celebrate the wedding of Stephen and Catherine. And we're all so excited about this. We just thank the Lord for their lives. And this is going to be a great honor to Christ, our Lord and Savior, as we observe His good grace in the lives of these dear families today. Just by way of announcement, the families ask that you please turn off all electronic devices, cell phones, and please refrain from taking any pictures as that would interfere with the professional photography during the ceremony. Thank you, and God bless you. Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
Michelle and I.
Let us pray. Our Father, we commit this sacred time to you in the presence of these witnesses. We praise and thank you for the ordinance of marriage and the blessings that flow from your good hand through each one. Father, we commit Stephen and Catherine to you today and thank you for their lives. Bless them the remainder of their days and for all eternity, Lord. And let this day begin their life together in the glory of God and the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The couple has chosen the hymn, "The Church is One Foundation," to sing. It's on the back of your program. And so if you'll look there, we'll sing this together, because in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, the Apostle Paul did say it is with reference to Christ and the church.
ler qualcosa di qui.
He's going to read Psalm 127 and 128 in Portuguese.
O Senhor não edifica a casa em pão. Trabalha em que edifica. O Senhor não guarda a cidade, não vigia a sentinela. E diz que vós serão levados de madrugada que toda ela de sono e aqui enquanto dorme o Senhor são os filhos frutos da vida. Seu galardão como fiel amanhã do guarda do grande cedo. Assim os filhos da mocidade feliz o homem que enchia dele a sua alvagem não será envergonhado, porque quando planeia o inimigo a porta.
Obrigado.
Ok.
We'll now read Psalm 127 and 128 in English. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies of the gate. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel.
Well, truly, the Lord is very, very good. And it's such a blessing to see Stephen and Catherine and to see how the Lord has worked in both of your lives over the years and how he has brought you together to this day. And we are reminded truly of what a good shepherd our Lord is, and he is so gracious and kind. As the father of the bride, Obviously, this day makes me reflect on the past 21 years of the many blessings and trials of raising a daughter. And from that very moment, I remember the first time we left Glendale Adventist Hospital, and she was quiet until we stopped at the first red light. And she cried. She cried loud, and then as soon as we got going again, she was fine. And that was kind of the metaphor for her life. She was always going. And she didn't like to stop. She didn't like to sleep. She was always bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And it's been a great blessing. And you've been a truly a joy to raise and a blessing at every turn. Not without its challenges, for sure. The one that I always like to recall is when we started homeschooling Catherine about third grade. And Grace had the unenviable task of teaching her math. Catherine did not, and I don't think still, does not like math. And I would be up there in my office, and I would hear all this commotion down in the basement. I knew they were doing math because she was upset, and then Grace would get upset, and they would be, and then once in a while there'd be a spanking involved. And one time Grace came to me, and she was just in tears. She said, "I am just such a failure as a mother." And she was so, and I said, "Grace," I said, "just stop, step back." I said, "don't worry, Catherine's not going to grow up to be a criminal." She's, I said, "you just have to step." And you know, I look, and now Grace would be, your mother would be so proud of you. And she was truly an amazing mother, as you know. And the one reason she truly wanted to live on was to see this day and to meet your husband and truly to see her grandchildren. But if she were here today, she would already be in a puddle of tears, I'm sure. But truly, what a blessing to come to this day. And Stephen, we're so thankful for you. You're such an answer to prayers in our family, in our home. And the Lord, in His kindness and grace, one of the challenges of any, you know, father of any girl is there's no man good enough for my daughter. And I was actually, over the years, thinking how that will work. Like, how's the Lord going to, you know? But He confirmed you from so many different angles, and it was so clearly of the Lord. And we're so thankful for you. And it's just a blessing to be here and to see you guys come together and how the Lord has brought you together. We're excited to see what the Lord will do with you in the coming days. But one of the challenges, obviously, has been, as I thought about what am I going to say to my daughter and son-in-law this today, as I think about, you know, marriage, and I know you'll probably never remember what I said anyway, but hopefully they will. And the verse that kept coming back to me is really not a verse that's technically about marriage, and yet it has everything to do with a truly blessed marriage. And it's a very simple verse. It's 1 John 1:7, and actually the first half of that verse: "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." And I just want to read verses 5-7 in the context. He says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him," Him being Christ in the context, "and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And I want to emphasize the fact that God created marriage. He designed it. We forget that today. People think it's a human invention. It's not a human invention. God designed marriage with a very definite purpose. In fact, multiple purposes that are revealed in Scripture. And the most basic purpose we find in Genesis chapter 2, the first purpose that is revealed to us, is that it was meant to be a blessing. It was meant to be a blessing. It was not good for man to be alone. It was meant to be a blessing to the man and to the woman. Two people for life, committed to one another in covenant before the Lord and living before the Lord. With the husband being the leader and the wife obeying her husband and the two of them together worshiping the Lord. This was meant to be a blessing. to you, to the culture. But so often it's not a blessing. So often it's a curse, truly. And I can tell you in every single instance the reason, without exception, it's because of sin. Where there is sin, there's confusion. Where there's sin, there's disunity. Where there's sin, there's problems. And of course, you're two sinners coming together. And my great advice to you is to walk in the light, because if you walk in the light, you will have fellowship. And this statement is really a simple statement. It's a very simple principle, and yet it's profoundly true. And it begins with a condition. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, and it ends with a result, you will have fellowship one with another. And it's always true. It is always true. And if you do not get along in marriage, it's because one or both of you is not walking in the light. And so I want to just briefly consider what it means to walk in the light and what it means that we have fellowship one with another. It's a very simple metaphor. Walk in the light. And we often overlook the metaphor, but I want to point out the fact that in the days that the Bible was written, walking was not just a form of recreation or exercise. It was your primary source of locomotion. It's how you got from place to place. It's how you got to your neighbor's house. It's how you got to the synagogue. It's how you got to the market. It's how you went to Jerusalem, to the temple. You walked everywhere. And you didn't want to walk at night, because at night there were robbers. At night there were wild beasts. At night you couldn't see the road because there were no street lights and there were no flashlights. So you wanted to walk in the daytime. You wanted to walk in the light so you knew where you were going. So it was safe, so you could see, so you wouldn't stumble. It's a very simple metaphor, walk in the light. So let me first of all consider the condition. What does it mean? Well, I would emphasize, first of all, it's the idea of walk in the light. It's not talk in the light. Some people are good talkers, and they talk about the light a lot, but they don't walk in the light. Walk is your life. It's your daily, daily, continual life. It's how you live. It's what you say. It's what you think. It's how you treat one another from day to day to day. It's in the mundane. It's how you walk. If you walk in the light, you will have fellowship. What does it mean to walk in the light? Well, here's where, as a preacher, I could go on for a couple hours, but I'm going to have to keep it simple. There are four things clearly in this context. I'm not going to develop it out of the context of 1 John, but it's all here in 1 John chapter 1. And I want to point out that these four things all go together. And to the degree that you're doing the one, you're doing the other. You can't separate them. The first one, I could summarize it by this, saying this: to walk in the light is to walk in Christ. And the only way you can have light is if you have fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the payment for our sins. He is our high priest. He gave his life for us. And you see, to walk in the light is not just, it's very important, it's not just a moral standard that you follow. It is to live for Christ. It is to honor Christ in everything you do. It is to trust Christ in every circumstance. It is to look to Christ. It is to bow the knee to Christ. It is to worship Christ in everything you do. That's walking in the light. And that's how we have fellowship with God. There is no other way. And you cannot have fellowship, true fellowship. You might have a good time together. You might have some pleasurable moments together. But you can never have true fellowship unless both of you are walking in Christ. And to walk in Christ is also, or to walk in the light is also to walk in the truth. Again, you can't separate this. It is to walk in the Word of God. It is to walk according to his principles. It is to delight in the law of the Lord. It is to love the word of God, to delight in it, to obey it, to trust it. And that's what it means to walk with Christ. And you cannot walk in the light without walking in the truth and obeying the truth. And then thirdly, I would say in this context, and this is the most developed in the context, to walk in the truth, or to walk in Christ, to walk in the truth, is to walk in repentance. That is, what follows this verse is a statement about sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. If we say that we have never sinned, we make him a liar. If we, on the other hand, confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that is a daily walk of going before the Lord and not pointing out each other's sin, that's what we're tending to do, but looking and asking the Lord to search our own hearts and say, Lord, show me my sin. Show me how I'm not walking in the light. Show me what darkness is in my own heart. And if you do that day by day, turning away from sin and turning away from your own foolishness, your own lust, your own covetousness, your own selfishness, your own laziness. There are so many sins, we have so much vocabulary for them. We could go on and on, right? Turn, ask the Lord to show you your own heart and your own sin and repent and ask him to change you. Listen, that's the key to a good marriage. If both of you walk in the light. Now there's a fourth element, which is also in the context, which is a result of all these things. And it's inescapable. And it's joy. To walk in the light is to walk in joy. When you walk with Christ, you will be filled with joy. And if you have two people who are filled with joy, you will have fellowship. It'll be very natural. And so we might look very briefly at the other side of it. The result of this condition, that when you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. And that fellowship could be defined in different ways, but I would include three things real briefly. The one is this, unity. You will have unity. You will have unity of purpose, because it's not going to be you want to do your thing and you want to do your thing, but you both will want to do what Christ desires. You will seek the Lord's will and not your own. And when you do that and you both do that, you will have unity. You'll have the same purpose. You'll have peace. You'll have peace because it won't be, again, your way versus your way. It will be, we are looking to Christ. We want to do it his way. We want his will, not our will, not my will. The question is, what is his will? And when you both walk that way, you will have peace with one another. And you will also have love. In fact, I would say to you that if you walk in the light, you won't have to work at loving each other. You will just naturally be filled with love for each other, because that's what the Holy Spirit produces in people that walk in the light. It's a very natural thing when you walk in the light. And that's why as you walk in the truth and the Holy Spirit works in you, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. These are the things, listen, these are the things that make someone very pleasant to live with. And if you both walk that way, you will have a wonderful marriage. And this is why I say to you, don't work on your marriage. Work on your walk with Christ. Set your eyes on Christ and you will have a blessed marriage. And he will guide you and he will lead you and you'll have many trials. You'll have many blessings. You'll probably have lots of both. And you know what? In all those things, if you both walk in the light, it won't separate you. It will bring you together. And my great prayer for you is that whatever you face, and you might face some very difficult things. We live in a very difficult world. It's a wicked world. It's a confusing world. And bad things happen. But listen, if your eyes are on Christ, these things will only bring you together. And you will grow. And as you look back over your marriage, you say, God is so good. And you'll see that 10 years from now, you'll look and you'll say, you know, I love my wife, I love my husband far more than I did when we got married. And it's true. If you walk in the light, you will. It's a beautiful thing. God is so good to those who walk with him. And this is my prayer for you, that you both would truly, even as you are, that you continue more and more to walk in the light so that you will have fellowship and bring glory to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. You are truly an amazingly good God. You are so kind and gracious to those that trust you, to those that seek you, to those that humble themselves before you and draw near to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I want to thank you today, especially for bringing these two people together, Stephen and Catherine. I thank you for them and for the true blessing that they are to me and to everyone here. And I just want to pray that you would abundantly bless them in the coming days as they begin their life together, that truly you would be glorified in both of them and that they would truly walk in the light as you were in the light, and that they might grow day by day in their fellowship with one another, so that truly they would honor and glorify you, Lord, in all their days, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you guys want to come up here. Stephen, I'm going to read you your vow. You may answer by saying, I do. Do you, Stephen, take this woman, Catherine, to be your lawful wedded wife, to love and respect, to honor and cherish, in sickness and in health, in prosperity and adversity, and forsaking all others, to keep yourself only for her so long as you both shall live? Catherine, do you, Catherine, take this man, Stephen, to be your lawful wedded husband, to love and obey, to honor and cherish, in sickness and in health, in prosperity and adversity, and forsaking all others, to keep yourself only for him, so long as you both shall live?
I do.
Do you have rings to exchange in symbolic response to these vows? So, Stephen, please repeat after me. I, Stephen.
Mindful from the exhortation of Scripture.
And of the words to which I responded, I do. Take you, Catherine.
To be my wedded wife.
To have and to hold. From this day forward.
Through whatever circumstances,
the Lord may guide us. And I solemnly pledge.
To you.
My love.
My life.
And my faithfulness. Until death parts us. For our Lord Jesus returns. I seal these my vows and pledge. By giving you this ring. Catherine, please repeat after me. I, Catherine.
Also mindful of the exhortation from Scripture.
And of the words to which I responded, I do. Take you, Stephen. To be my wedded husband. To have and to hold. From this day forward. Through whatever circumstances. The Lord may guide us. And I solemnly pledge. To you. My love. My life. And my faithfulness. Until death parts us. Or our Lord Jesus returns. In response to receiving your ring, I give you this ring. As a seal. Of these my vows and pledge. Please join us in singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. For as much as you have pledged yourselves to each other before these witnesses, and more importantly, before your Lord, I, as a minister of the gospel of Christ and in accordance with the laws of the state of Ohio, pronounce you husband and wife in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. You may now kiss the bride. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege and pleasure to present to you for the first time Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Ribeiro. Reception at 5 o'clock, and it's about 30 minutes away, but we don't want you to show up until 5 o'clock. So you're welcome to hang out here for a while or do whatever, but it's about 30 minutes away. So if you can kind of rejoice here, and then we'll head over there at 5. So at this time, the ushers are going to come and let you out a row at a time. So.